Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for this Friday, March the 8th, 2013. I hope you're having a good day. Looks like might have a little unsettled weather for 24 hours or so, and the Sunday part of the weekend certainly looks really good weather-wise. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for joining us on the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we also want to make this program available to you on your schedule, so we post the program for the podcast to buckmastershow.com. The Gannett Corporation website, tucsoncitizen.com, has our program, as does Tucson's online news service, tucsonsentinel.com. We also have a link at the gvnews.com, that is the homepage for the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, and we have a link at blogforarizona.com. Our congratulations to our friends at Blog for Arizona, who were named yesterday by the Washington Post as the best political blog site in Arizona. So we're happy to have an association with them on the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview is with Dr. Duane Bloomberg, mayor of the town of Sahorita. Mayor Bloomberg came to Sahorita in 2005. He was elected to the town council in 2009 and selected by the town council to be the mayor in June of 2011. He is a PhD mathematician. Dr. Bloomberg spent 35 years at the University of Louisiana, where he was a faculty member, department chair, dean of the College of Sciences, and vice president. And as vice president, he supervised the university's specialized research and development centers and its research park. Joining me to question the mayor, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. If you have a question or comment for the mayor, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. Dan, good to see you. And Mayor, welcome. It's good to see you again. Well,
thank you very much. It's good to be back.
You know a little bit about research parks. As I mentioned in the introduction, you were actively involved with that in Louisiana. You've just come from one of the TRIO board meetings. You're a member of the Tucson Regional Economic Development Board. You had a presentation this morning from Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry about a proposed bond election that might happen in 2014. That's kind of some of the thinking. And part of that bond would be a major improvement to the Raytheon-Tucson International Airport area. This would include a research park, wouldn't it?
Right. In fact, to my mind, that's one of the major components of it. It seems that several things are coming together. For example, even well before I was here, a connection between Interstate 10 and Interstate 19 somewhere south of the airport has been talked about.
It's been talked about for ages.
Yes. And so now there may be a good opportunity to make that happen and to have good economic development as a result. So the proposal is basically to abandon the current Hughes Access Road and about half a mile to the south to construct what's being called the Aerospace Parkway. And that would connect I-10 on the east over to Nogales Highway and then to figure out how to get over to I-19. But along that parkway would be an aerospace and defense research
park. And it would be very important to this area because I think, Mr. Huckleberry, you were sharing this, that the percentage of people who are associated with the aerospace industry in Tucson is huge.
Yes, it may be as much as 20%.
I mean, that's big time.
And yeah, this is big stuff. And when you think about defense, we'll see, because there are going to be some changes in sure. that particular area. But there's going to be a boom in commercial aviation, and there's going to be need for all kinds of things there, and we can capture that.
So you like the idea?
Yes, very much so.
Here is Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun.
Along those same lines, Mayor, you said that this could be an economic niche for Sahorita, this aerospace and defense initiative. Can
right.
you be a little bit more specific exactly what that would mean to the community south of Tucson?
Sure. In economic development terms, we talk about clusters. And we're probably all familiar with these. For example, in every big city like Tucson, there's at least one automotive cluster where all the automobile dealers mm-hmm. are together. Mm-hmm. And we can look at in Louisiana, for example, where I come from, has a petrochemical cluster that stretches from New Orleans way up past Baton Rouge. And the advantage of these clusters is in part whenever someone is thinking of where should I come to do business, you think about these places. Mm-hmm. You want to be near people in doing the same thing.
And your infrastructure, too. This park yes. would be right by the Tucson yeah. International yeah. Airport.
Dan, I think that in answer to your question, the immediate impact on our town would be people who are working in this area up at the area of the airport would find our community a good place to live. But notice that this aerospace park is going to be right on Nogales Highway.
Right.
And that makes right. it pretty close to our town. And I see some spinoffs down the road into the town.
The transaction privilege tax,
yes.
a really dry subject. I know a lot of people just kind of right. space when they see this in the paper, but extraordinarily important to a lot of communities in Arizona. What's going on?
Okay, very much so. I have a long explanation of this, but I'm not going to go into that.
Give us the short.
I'll give you the short version.
Bottom line,
here's
what,
the short
what
version.
It would mean,
here's
the elimination the short, yes. of the construction sales
tax. Here's the
tax.
Short version.
Okay.
Many municipalities, cities and towns, charge a construction tax. You take whatever the cost of the construction is, you deduct 35% to allow for the labor component, and you tax the rest. In our particular town, it's a 4% tax. In our town, we use that tax by ordinance to go into our capital fund, which funds public infrastructure. So this is a very important thing to us. Now, there was a task force that the governor appointed to look at all aspects of the state's transaction privilege tax, and it made a number of good recommendations. This tax is complicated, and if you're a business carrying on activities in several jurisdictions, each of which have different rules and schemes and so forth, it's hard to do. And I agree, it needs to be simplified. But one of the things the task force recommended is not so good. It recommended that this construction tax be eliminated.
And what would that mean to this town of Sahuarita, money-wise?
Yeah, right now it would mean $1.8 million per year.
Which is a lot of money for your budget, right?
It is, but it's at a low right now. We have collected as much as $11 million during the earlier boom times. And this is the way, this tax is the way that the town can capture this growth and make sure that the growth pays for itself, that our current residents and businesses aren't unduly hindered and taxed to support it. Now, the good news is, just today, I have learned that there's some activity to amend this proposal, which would let the cities and towns continue the construction tax while the state would abandon it and go to having builders pay sales tax. It's a transaction privilege tax on the materials where they buy them. And that I've just seen it a few moments ago. But it seems like a good system yeah. and a good fix.
So really, it's a really complex tax system. You're right. It did need to be dealt with. And to throw one more number in there, while it would have meant almost $2 million for Sahuarita, it would have been about $7 million for Tucson this
yes.
past year. So
right.
that's an awful lot of money that they were just going to be hacking out of these budgets, and it's very important. So hopefully they've come to an understanding that this can't be so dramatic, and we will see
right.
in coming days whether this actually goes through and benefits the towns.
Right.
Mayor of Sahuarita is with us, Dr. Dwayne Bloomberg. Mayor Bloomberg will be around for the next segment as we continue. It is the Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll be back after we hear from the lineup of fine sponsors who support the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. This literary extravaganza is unlike any other. It is 10 acres of books, authors, exhibitors, food, fun, and entertainment, and it's all free. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus March 9th through the 10th.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
It's Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show. A reminder, coming up at 1 o'clock, Michael Medved will be doing his show live from KVOI right here in Tucson. We're very happy to have Michael with us. We're also happy to have the mayor of the town of Saharita, Dr. Dwayne Bloomberg, and Dan Scheer, the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, for our Friday Focus interview. Mayor, it was 18 years ago that Saharita incorporated. Indeed. The town has grown from just a few thousand residents to, I think you've got about 26,000.
That's correct.
That's a huge growth. What about future growth for your community?
Well, the future growth of the community is going to lie to the east. There's a lot of state trust land that is essentially immediately to the east of town, and we're just starting the process of looking at annexation and figuring out what to do. We'd like to get really ahead of things. We'd like to figure out what is the future of life in this desert. What are the power sources? What are we going to do about water, etc.? And to build something there, we won't build, developers will build it, but to have things built there that will capture the future of life here and not be just a duplicate of what we've got.
And as you know, the people in Vail are talking about incorporation.
Yes.
Does that impact your community if Vail were to become a city?
Not directly. I can envision in the future, we would like to annex so that our eastern boundary along Saharita Road was at Wilmot Road. And if, depending on what happens with this annexation in Vail, this incorporation in Vail, and maybe their later annexations,
yes,
it seems to me they could come down to Houghton Road, and who
and
knows?
Suddenly we have land wars going on.
No, I don't think there
okay.
will be wars.
All right.
In fact, our staff has worked a lot with the people from Vail and
so you have a good
just answered questions about incorporation and such.
All right. Here's Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun.
Last time you were here, we got a chance to talk a little bit about Mexico's impact on Saharita and Tucson, and I'd like to go into a little bit more depth on that. Just what do they mean? And I'm talking about the people who come over to shop, and I'm talking about potential businesses and everything. What
right.
does it mean to us?
Okay. Well, got to back up just a moment and give you the – we want to focus on what's called the Sun Corridor. And this is what is – this is a megapolitan. And a megapolitan is a big area. For example, think of Los Angeles area all the way down to San Diego, or on the East Coast – from Washington, D.C. up to Boston
mm-hmm,
is
right.
about one big place
mm-hmm.
with lots of resources.
Megamopolis. And
megapolitan.
Okay.
So the predictions are that the area from Nogales, Arizona, up through Saharita to Tucson to Phoenix and maybe over towards Prescott or something like that is going to become one of these megapolitans.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. The majority of the people in the state live in this area.
Sure.
Now
sure.
it's going to grow. We've already seen the growth of it. And we need to think of this as one competitive economic unit. And so what we're trying to do in Saharita is to figure out what is our role in this bigger scheme of things. And there are lots of possibilities, but the connection with Mexico is very important. We seldom learn about it, but the economy of Mexico is doing very well,
mm-hmm.
in particular the state of Sonora. Some representatives were here recently. They told us that more than 200 European companies, some of which are connected with the aerospace industry, have started things, made investments, and so forth in Sonora. And we can capture some of that. There's certainly the shopping traffic that we would like to capture. Tucson does very well by that, by the way. But to my mind, it's more about people and businesses and the connection with the aerospace defense corridor that we need to figure out how to do this.
Is there something that San Diego has managed to accomplish with Tijuana over there that we would like to accomplish with Nogales, Sonora?
Similar things, yes. For example, there are joint projects between those two cities.
Okay,
cross-border. And you probably know they're talking about perhaps an airport,
mm-hmm, right.
a joint airport and things like that. We have some similar opportunities, and we need to figure out how to connect our business people in Arizona with their counterparts in similar businesses in Sonora. And I don't mean to exclude any other place, but it's a natural. And I would like to think about the concept of extending this Sun Corridor as not being only in the U.S., but extending down into Sonora, maybe to Hermosillo and Guaymas and so forth. And that's one big economic unit, very powerful.
What are you doing to attract some new businesses? I know you've got, an expanded Jim Click auto dealership.
Yes.
And you're trying to get some more businesses so people don't necessarily have to drive up to Tucson to do their business, right?
Yeah. Right now, as befits a young town and where it grew up, we're dominated by the retail and service sectors and by construction and construction-related activities. But this is not a good fit for the experience and education and so forth of our citizens. And it's also a recipe for an unsustainable situation or a roller coaster situation, as we've seen recently. So we're trying to diversify and attract some what's called primary businesses. These are businesses that sell their goods or services or ideas or whatever they're into, largely outside of the local area, thus bring money in, and they don't require huge local growth in order to thrive. So we're working on that, and I see a lot of possibilities. You know, if we're very close to that aerospace parkway and so forth, I think there are a lot of possibilities for us. So the Chamber of Commerce, the Green Valley Sahuarita Chamber of Commerce, has come up with a plan to help us do this. We want to be partners with them to implement it, and we've also going to join, I think, with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce based here in Tucson, it has similar goals of trying to work with Mexico.
Here's Dan Shear. I think, Dan, we can get another question or so in. We've got about 3 minutes to go.
Okay. I'm not going to say that we're out of the economic downturn as a nation, but we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And as we look back over the last 4 or 5 years, Sahuarita seemed to have weathered it a little bit better than others. What is your assessment of where the town has been the last few years and compared to others and where we're going?
Okay. Thanks to some previous councils and staff of the town and some good luck, Sahuarita was managed very conservatively. And this rapid growth, perhaps in another situation, may have caused the town to increase its expenditures and do this and take on a debt. But in our town, it did not happen that way. The money was put aside in a reserve fund. And today we have actual cash reserves that are more than a year's income into the general fund. So we're in good shape. And if this construction tax issue is resolved, then that will be much better. So we've done well. And, of course, our people, the majority of people who work in our residents of our town work in Tucson. And they work at places like Raytheon and other aerospace defense, the Border Patrol and in other areas of enforcement and such. And these have been booming areas until maybe now.
Right.
So we'll have to see how that goes.
So there's a little bit of trepidation down in Green Valley. Believe it or not, I get this question a lot as the editor, and that is that Sahuarita's going to come in and annex us. You want to reassure some folks out there?
Yes. To the best of my knowledge, we have no plans to annex parts of Green Valley and such. Our annexation is looking to the east.
Right, and they'd have to okay it anyway, and who knows what would happen there.
Right.
They always certainly...
And there are no plans for incorporation, Dan,
Green Valley? No, and that's come up several times, actually, in Green Valley, and it's a very, very hot topic. Thankfully, not since I've been there over the last 4 years, but it's a real hot topic, and people are very passionate about it. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. People don't want the extra layer of government. They certainly don't want the taxes, and I think they're pretty happy with the county because they vote in very high numbers in Green Valley,
exactly.
And they get attention. They get the attention.
Yeah. Okay, Mayor Bloomberg, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you both.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for you and your colleagues, your other mayors around Arizona who are unanimous in trying to get this construction, trying to get the legislature to back off on eliminating the construction sales tax, because it would be a big hit not only for communities like Sahuarita, but pretty much every city in the state.
Oh,
right?
Yes, very much so.
Mayor Bloomberg, thanks a lot for being with us.
Well, thank you, Bill.
All right, Dan Shear will stick around with us. We'll have Mark Evans joining us from TucsonCitizen.com as we do now our Reporters Roundtable coming up on this, our Friday Focus and Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. World leaders, athletes, and some left-wing celebrities are among those attending today's funeral in Caracas for Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. As the funeral got underway, a line of people who were still waiting to see Chavez's body stretched for a mile and a half. Osama bin Laden's son-in-law is being held without bail in New York on charges of plotting against Americans before and immediately after the 9/11 attacks. Suleiman Abu Ghaith was captured in Jordan last week. A source says he agreed to be interviewed without an attorney after arriving in New York a week ago, but that he later requested a lawyer and was interviewed again with the lawyer present. Italy's government is authorizing the move of the wrecked Costa Concordia cruise ship to the nearest port, where it will eventually be taken apart. The wreck isn't expected to be moved until September. More details at SRNnews.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
It's 12:36 on the Friday Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We're on AM 1030 KVOI. Tucson's Intelligent Voice, time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, featuring local journalists who join me to talk about the week's top stories. And on the roundtable this week, Mark B. Like Boy Evans, administrator for the Gannett Corporation-owned TucsonCitizen.com, a community of bloggers of which the Buckmaster Show is a proud member. And Dan Shear is with us, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you have a comment or question, the Buckmaster Show live line would be delighted to hear from you, 790-2040. And you put in that middle initial because I guess there was some really other person who was trying to impersonate you.
No, so. When I first got started, there was another reporter with the same name, so I threw that initial in there to help clarify it. And, of course, he then left the state shortly thereafter, and I liked it. It gives it some gravitas, I think.
I think so. Governor Brewer rallied doctors and nurses at the Capitol this week in her bid to get the necessary votes to expand the state's Medicaid program. That rally comes as the governor has been having all sorts of trouble convincing members of her own Republican Party that this plan makes sense. At least part of the concern is the cost. This is going to be a hard sell, I think, Mark.
Oh, it is a hard sell. Yes, there's no good about it. It's there are a lot of Republicans in the legislature who are against it on sheer principle because it's part of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and which they see as adding to the deficit problems and the national debt of the country, and they don't want to be a part of it. And they're against it on sheer matters of principle in terms of providing this type of service to the poor, and you know the cost that is then put on the rest of us. They see it as people who have jobs having to pay for the people who don't have jobs and them getting free medical care, whereas the people who have jobs don't get free medical care, so they don't like it that way. And counter to that, then, is the argument that it's good for the state, it's good economically for the state, it helps the hospitals. And the question is going to be, you know, which one of those two arguments will prevail or convince enough of the Republicans in the House and the Senate to vote for it? And, you know, I'll give it to the governor. When she first announced this, the way she did it, I didn't give her a whole lot of credit of being very capable of leading a very effective fight on this, given her track record. But she's putting up a good fight. She's giving it a good push. I think it's going to come down to what happens with the budget, and we still haven't seen a budget yet. It hasn't been proposed yet. And once we get a budget out of the House, then we'll really see where the rubber hits the road in terms of how they're going to pay for this and whether it's going to go through or not.
Dan, part of the problem here, this is a numbers problem. The Arizona Constitution says any tax hike or increase in state revenue requires a two-thirds vote of the House and Senate. Well, the way the governor is getting around this, she's saying it's not a tax, it's an assessment.
Right. And I think, going back to what Mark was saying also, you have to note, for what it's worth, that GOP leaders across the country are kind of heading in the same direction also as Arizona is. So we're not alone out there. And the question is she doing it for political reasons? Is she doing it because tens of thousands of Arizonans were uncovered and now we need to deal with that? I mean, what is the reason? And it's interesting. I think it's part of this whole light change that we're seeing in the Republican Party as they wake up to certain realities. And I'm not saying that they're about to go under, but I'm saying that there are certain things they got whooped last year, and something has to change. And I wonder if this is just part of all that.
Well, it certainly has divided the party. Tim Steller had a column in the Star, Mark, about Arizona GOP is uniting against its own, and its own being Governor Brewer on this particular issue. We have the Pima County GOP, the Pinal County GOP against, I think, the state GOP party is against this as well.
Yeah. Right, and the interesting part of that column is that the Republicans have been in kind of a circular firing squad for the last couple of years. There's this division. There's this that's riven with the Tea Party people, and then the Libertarian faction of the Republican Party, and then what keeps getting referred to as the traditional Republicans, who were pretty hardcore conservatives themselves to begin with. So they're all trying to out-conservative each other, and who's the more, who's the biggest version of the group? And what they all are finally agreeing, all these different factions are agreeing, is they don't want the Medicaid expansion. And if that reflection of the rank and file is we don't want the Medicaid expansion, then that is going to be reflected in the legislature, because the legislators get their support from the rank and file, the precinct committeemen who make up the political party infrastructure in all the counties.
We'll move on here to the latest on the buyback programs. Tucson had a gun buyback program. Phoenix, I don't know if they went through and had one, but they were talking about it. Well, the state house has voted, Dan, I think this happened yesterday, pretty much slams the door on the gun buyback programs, even when the owners specifically ask that their weapons be destroyed.
Right. And what's interesting in this is I thought we had somewhat of a lull here for a little while in the whole gun issue, and I'm glad to see that it's getting back into the paper. And we had Gabrielle Giffords just the other day returning to the Safeway where she was shot a couple years ago, and not asking for anything unreasonable, just extending background checks to gun shows and internet purchases, and we'll see what kind of waves those make. But I'm glad that we're still debating this, because too often we get in an uproar as a country and then we just forget it and we're on to the next issue.
That bill is such a ridiculous knee-jerk reaction to what happened here in Tucson. The idea that it is a matter of public policy that people, that the government not be able to come up with some way to fund through private donations a buyback of guns that people want to dispose of, and they don't want to dispose it on the open market. They want the gun destroyed. You know, the government should be able to be a facilitator of that. It's just a ridiculous bill. I don't think it's going to be signed by the governor, based on the vetoes of other bills that she's made, gun bills that she's made. Interesting, though, the city of Tucson is probably going to be back in the gunfight again.
Mm-hmm. Councilman Kasachek.
Steve Kasachek at the meeting this week asked for a future agenda item to consider a city ordinance that would make it mandatory to report a lost or stolen gun. Right now, you know, if anything, if you have anything of yours that's stolen, you're not under any obligation to report it to anybody if you don't want to. But for this, they're going to carve out a niche and say, well, if your gun is stolen, you have to report it under penalty of law. And that I think is probably an overreach and is unnecessary. It's not going to solve anything. But you know, it's the city again wading deep into the gun rights waters, and we'll see what happens and what the reaction is.
Todd Rathner, who is a lobbyist for the Arizona State Rifle and Pistol Association, a National Rifle Association board member, wrote an email that was in that, I think it's in today's Star, about the city's plan. Rathner said, so let me get this straight. They want to place a further burden carrying a criminal penalty upon a person who has just been victimized by a crime.
Well, what's interesting, Bill, on this is that if you had a gun stolen, you would want to report it anyway for lots of reasons. And I wonder how big of an issue this really is. And again, is it Kozacek trying to make headlines again, or is it really a problem? And to turn someone into a criminal for not reporting that, I have to side with Mark on this, that I'm just kind of wondering why a town that has so many other problems is dealing with something on that level.
We had Councilman Fimbres, Mark, and Dan on the program this week from the Tucson City Council, and he is not giving up the fight against the Tucson postmark has basically disappeared now on Letters No More, and it's really hard to believe a place like Tucson, Arizona, known all over the country and some places all over the world, we do not even have our own postmark. But the councilman, Dan, believes that there still may be some hope for this. We had a caller who actually worked at the Cherry Bell Processing Center call the show and says it's fine to bring the local postmaster before the council, but it's not really going to carry much weight. You got to get John McCain and some of the legislators in Washington to say this can't happen.
But we've had members of Congress locally who have said, okay, we're going to go and fight this, and Grijalva being one of them, and it's done nothing. I'm a little surprised here. If he thinks there's hope, I'd like to know where he thinks that lies. We had an interesting kind of an on-the-street type of a question for our readers down in Green Valley a couple of weeks ago. And Green Valley, you know, older, they like print, they like letters, they like going out and get their mail. And we asked them the question, are you going to miss it? And you know what? I'd say about 80-90% of them said, you know what? Something had to change here. We're using email anyway. And I was very surprised by the response. And they're saying, let it go. It's only going to be an extra day wait, maybe.
And I know, Mark, you don't think this is a big deal at all.
Well, it's
You've
probably
so
a big
before.
Deal, but I don't think it's going to have that kind of deleterious effect that we should use legislation to stand in the way of the post office trying to figure out how to write its financial ship, which is in serious trouble. I mean, they're looking at they're going to stop Saturday delivery now because they're still having, $2 billion in the red. Now, you can blame whoever you want, whether it was set up to fail by legislation passed a few years ago or not. The bottom line is that right now the post office isn't paying its bill and it's got to cut its expenses. And if it's going to cut the Tucson plant, and that means you might not get a letter today, but you'll get it tomorrow, you're still going to get your letter. I don't see that it's all that big a deal. And Richard Fimbres can keep tilting at that windmill, but even Don Quixote never managed to slay that dragon.
Mark Evans and Dan Scheer with us on the Reporters Roundtable. I want to talk a little bit about the city and the streetcar. Those who have been opposed to the streetcar probably rallied when they saw this story in the Star that the operating costs, Mark, will be four times earlier estimates for the streetcar.
Right. They've got some problems with the delays, obviously, that's dragging things out. They were expecting to be making revenue by now. They hired a contractor to come in and run the streetcar for them. And, of course, as a contractor wants to do, he's going to come in and say, well, you know what? This amount that you've budgeted to run this thing, that's not enough. We need more money. We need 16 more people to run this thing. So that raised the costs. And then the mayor, when he was on the show a week or so ago with you and I, he seemed to still be fairly optimistic that the U of A was going to kick in some money to underwrite this, since the U of A is one of the primary benefiters of the streetcar, and there was some there was during the financial reports Tuesday at the council meeting, there was some indication that, well, maybe U of A is not going to be providing much money, if any at all. And so that has all increased the annual operating costs. And so it's got people like Steve Kozichik and others who said, well, I told you so. But, you know, so what are we going to do? I mean, it's not like we're going to pay $100 million to build the thing and then just leave it sit there because we can't afford to run it. It's going to be funded out of the general fund. It's going to be subsidized. It's not going to pay its full fare at the fare box. We're going to have to pay for it one way or another. So I'm not surprised the cost ballooned, but I think they really need to look at that contractor and whether he really needs those 16 extra people that they said they did.
We talked about incorporation a little bit, Dan, with the town mayor of Saharita, and talked about Vail as they push forward now with their plans for incorporation. And I see here the County Board of Supervisors has voted on the issue, Pima County asking for the county fairgrounds to be excluded from a proposed town incorporation.
Right, and Vail doesn't have any problem with that, and we'll see. Vail has been obviously thinking about this for a long time. They've come over to Green Valley, which is not incorporated. They've come over to Sarita, which is and has been for about 18 years, and they've been asking a lot of questions. Should we, shouldn't we? Should we allow Tucson to take over? Should we just stay in the county? What should we do? And so obviously they're moving forward with it, and as Mayor Bloomberg said off the air, actually, he said, you know, I would encourage anybody who wants to have a little bit more control over their destiny to move forward with that plan. That was not an endorsement. That's just this is his thought off the top of his head.
Yeah, the county didn't want to have its, corn dog sales taxed by the city of Vail at the county fair, which, okay, fine. So it's going to create an island. If Vail's cool with it, you know, that's great. I'm encouraged to see this Vail incorporation go through. I think they need to be a little bit more honest. They're really trying to hedge their bets and not say they're going to have a sales tax. There is absolutely no way they're going to run that town on state shared revenues. They're going to need their own funding source. So they need to be honest with that up front and then see if that gets the voters to vote for it. And I think if you see this Vail incorporation succeed, you're going to see other incorporations come back up like we had in 97 when we had the rush to incorporation after the change in state law.
But not Green Valley.
No.
There's no way Green Valley is going to do it. Or the foothills, I don't think. No.
Mark Evans, Dan Scheer, I hope you both have a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
A lot. Weekend Watch coming up. Matt Russell is off in California on business. That means yours truly will give my own Buckmaster Show Weekend Watch picks when we continue.
See you at the book stuff.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bruce. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus, March 9th through the 10th.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Of course, that bumper music signals the start of the weekend here on the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch is brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. Silver City, one of America's top 100 arts communities. So much to do in historic Silver City and plenty of great places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Manzano's RV Park. So lots of good places to stay. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, who normally hosts our Weekend Watch segment, is tied up with some business over in California with his award-winning Russell Public Communications. So yours truly will give you a few of the weekend picks of the Buckmaster Show. Our top pick for the weekend, this one, of course, a no-brainer, the 5th Annual Tucson Festival of Books. It is really hard to believe in 5 years how this festival has grown to be one of the largest in the country, more than 120,000 visitors in 2012. You can get more information, TucsonFestivalBooks.org. Also, Second Saturdays Downtown is happening this Saturday, and my weekend watch pick for some good eats, Vero Amore Pizza, located at Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan. Check out Vero Amore, really the best pizza in Tucson. As for entertainment picks, I like Rhythm of the Dance, National Dance Company of Ireland at the Fox Theater tonight. Riverdance style, 22 dancers and 9 musicians, including 3 Irish tenors. So those are the Buckmaster Show weekend watch picks. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our guests, our in-studio guests here on the Buckmaster Show, are provided with a bottle of Culligan water, and they really like it. We like it. Why? It just tastes better. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, Rosemary Brandt, lovely and talented and really, really a great producer, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend. Have the John C. Scott Show coming up from 3 to 5 here on KVOI. And, of course, Monday, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. Then Michael Medved comes up live from our KVOI studios here in Tucson. Michael's show begins in just a few minutes. He'll be up at 1:04 with his national show right here from KVOI. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.